Good morning, everyone. I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to NPR News. Glad you could join us today. Does this situation sound familiar to you? You're in the grocery store, and another customer can't find something they want. And suddenly, they are losing their cool, yelling at the grocery store employee, having a full-on public meltdown. Maybe you've witnessed it. Maybe you've been the employee on the receiving end of someone's rage, or maybe you've been the person who just snaps in public. These scenarios are not uncommon right now. And a recent poll found that 41% of people said that the upheaval caused by the pandemic has made them mad, and that simmering anger has caused people to have outbursts in grocery stores, on airplanes, and in other public places. We know that anger is a normal emotion. It's a natural response to the frustration and grief and fear that the pandemic has caused. But when anger is uncontrolled, it can lead to some problems, physical health problems and relationship issues, and it can be harmful. So this hour, I want to talk about what is making us angry and how we are acting and how to better manage men. And I want to hear from you. Have you witnessed some bad behavior in public, or have you found yourself struggling with anger and just snapping or yelling at people? What is making you angry right now? The phone lines are open, and here are the numbers. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. You can also tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR. Later this hour, I'm going to talk with a psychologist and an advice columnist. But first, I want to introduce Sarah Lyle. Now, Sarah is a writer at large at the New York Times based in Brooklyn, and she recently wrote an article about pandemic anger called "A Nation on Hold Wants to Speak with a Manager." Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, good morning. So you wrote about what many of us are seeing more often as this pandemic just drags on. People are just losing it in public because they're so angry. Describe some of the stories that people told you that you shared in your article.
Yeah, so we talked to a lot of employees of various businesses around the country. And what I heard was really interesting. You know, we've all seen the sort of dramatic breakdowns that people have had in these situations, in airplanes and stores and restaurants. But what a lot of these people were saying was that it was a much more low-grade irritation that would erupt much more frequently than it used to. Mm-hmm. And that what they were really dismayed about was the general feeling of sort of mistrust and unhappiness among people suddenly in these settings. And it felt like, you know, people are so maybe lonely, scared, frustrated, upset anyway, and they come into a store or get on an airplane or go to a restaurant, and when they don't get what they want, their response is disproportionate because of all the other things going on. So I had a woman who works at a grocery chain, and she was describing this situation where a customer came in. He wanted a specific type of gourmet cheese. He couldn't find it in the dairy area, and he grabbed this employee, and first he made her look in the dairy case, then he made her look like in the back. He's like, maybe it's in the fridge. Then he made her look it up on the store computer, and he was really, you know, getting angrier and angrier, and she finally said, look, we don't have any in the store, and he just absolutely lost it. And as she said to me, you know, you look at this guy and you're thinking, it's not about the cheese.
Mm-hmm. It's not about the cheese. It's just one more thing that's not going right. And so it's almost like, you know, we're all kind of walking around simmering, right, close to the boiling point. And it doesn't take a lot for, you know, things to just get out of control.
Well, and I think, you know, we have so little control over things right now, as you mm-hmm. rightly point out. And it feels like these encounters should be the things that are easy. Like, we've had a bad day. We go into a store, we want a particular thing, and suddenly that's harder to get than it used to be. We're waiting in line longer. There are fewer people to help us because people are out sick, because it's so hard for workers. A lot of people have quit and, you know, out of stress. And so all of a sudden, like, what should have been an easy encounter turns into this horrible nightmare that takes twice as long. Mm-hmm. And once again, we kind of don't get what we want. And we haven't gotten what we wanted for a while because we've been in a pandemic. And we're like children mm-hmm. in a school told that we can't play with a crayon, sometimes it feels like.
Yeah, but we are adults. And so Why is it that it seems that customer service workers are often the ones bearing the brunt of this anger? Is it just because, you know, I don't know. Why is it that the customer service workers are getting it?
Well, I feel there's a few things. I mean, one, you know, these spaces are places where we're now in groups of people, and sometimes I'm sorry to say it is political. There's issues over mask wearing and disagreements over whether we should be wearing masks, what it means not to wear a mask, what it means not to follow the rules. And so we're in crowds of people who may not agree with us. Mm-hmm. People are quite mistrustful of each other. And also, I think it's displaced anger. You know, you can't yell at the pandemic. You probably shouldn't yell at the people you're living with, or if you've yelled at them so much, you can't think of it anymore.
Right. Or they're gone because you've yelled at them so much.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're sort of, it brings up this sort of like atavistic or, you know, deep seated anger in you that isn't rational at all. And you take it out on these poor people who are working for you. I mean, one example that I kept running into was people in restaurants. And, you know, when restaurants all had to close in the beginning of the pandemic, when they opened again, people should have been so happy to get to go back to a restaurant. But suddenly, you know, there weren't as many servers. You couldn't necessarily get the food you wanted. The chef who you loved was gone, and there was a less good chef there. And rather than being, you know, grateful and supportive and patient with the servers, people lost it. They're like, at least I should be able to get a I should be able to get a damn meal when I want it. And they took it out on these poor servers. And often, you know, it's young people who are having to tell older customers, put a mask on, don't do this, wash your hands, wait in line, you know, stay away from 6 feet away from other people. And they're not trained to do that kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm afraid people take out stuff on people who are in a weaker position than they are.
We are hearing a lot more cursing, by the way, right now.
I'm so sorry. I forgot.
No, well, we know that employees...
I really apologize.
Employees are now having to take on many, you know, additional roles because, you know, a lot of these employees now are therapists and law enforcement officers and conflict resolution negotiators. Like, no, I'm just a hostess. I'm not all these other things that, you know, we're required to be when we show up at work.
Well, my editor had a great series of potential headlines for this piece, and one of her ideas was the cheesemonger is not your therapist. And that was the thing. It's like these people are suddenly having, you know, they're seeing a guy, maybe a lonely older man, melting down because he can't get his cheese, and they're thinking this poor man, you know, there's more going on in his life than this, and I'm going to try and talk him down from the ledge. But I'm like a 25-year-old, you know, person who works in a store. What skills do I have to do with this? And they're trying to stop people from fighting with each other. They're starting, you know, people are trying to protect their own coworkers from being shouted at by angry customers. And some, you know, employers are escorting these people out of the store in general and saying, don't speak to my workers that way.
Now, we've focused mainly about how this is affecting customer and employee interactions, but are you also seeing and hearing about anger showing up in other ways?
Well, a bit. You know, I feel that, you know, in every encounter we have, people are less patient with each other, I think. And I've noticed it even with friends of mine who are normally the most chill, relaxed people. You know, they're just a little more on edge. People are a little, you know, a little wary of each other. Mm-hmm. Everyone has different attitudes toward how much risk they're willing to take, how much risk other people should be taking. We're all quite judgmental in ways we probably weren't before. And I don't like seeing that in myself either, but it's hard when you've thought hard about your own level of risk and what you think is appropriate and what you think is safe. And then suddenly you're encountering people who disagree. It's hard not to take it further and feel, you know, make assumptions about their character and their, you know, their values. And that isn't really fair, but I think a lot of us are doing that as well.
And a personal question, I imagine that most of the New York Times writers and editors are working remotely, but have you even noticed some strained interactions between, you know, your colleagues and your work?
I think that's really true. I really believe in working with other people. I love collaborative work. I love the serendipitous running into people in the hall. And I think especially at the beginning of the pandemic, I think it's a little better now, but with so much roiling around in the world at large, a lot of people suddenly were sort of mistrusting each other at work. I think in general, I have absolutely fantastic colleagues. We all, you know, are devoted to our job. But, you know, when especially if some new employees had never met anyone, all they're doing is seeing them remotely mm-hmm. over Zoom. Some people's connections weren't very good. You know, some people had kids at home. And I think people, you know, and there was just less joy in the world in that kind of work environment. You know, it's so fun. I'm sure you feel the same way, to be in an office with cool people who you're chatting with. And when you're having these encounters and everybody brings their own baggage much more to the workspace, it's really hard. It's really hard to find the humanity in other people. And I think we have to try so hard to hang on to that as we come through this.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your time this morning. We've been talking with Sarah Lyle, a writer at large at the New York Times based in Brooklyn. And she recently wrote an article earlier this month about pandemic anger. It's called A Nation on Hold Wants to Speak with a Manager. Check it out. Thank you again for your time, Sarah.
Thank you so much. And I really apologize for swearing.
It's an example of what we're really talking about. It's an example of what we're talking about. All right. We are all struggling right now. And I have two other guests on the line right now as we talk about managing our frustration and our anger and the ways that that rage is showing up in our behavior. Joining us now, we have John Paul Bremer, the author of a popular advice column, Hola Papi. He's also written a book with the same title. He's joining us from Austin, Texas this morning. Welcome to the show, JP.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, glad you could be with us. And Dave Decker is on the line. Dave is a psychologist here in St. Paul who specializes in anger management. Dave, thanks for coming back onto the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Angela.
Yeah, Dave, we talked with you, I think it was a year ago. Into the pandemic, and we're still angry, Dave.
We are, and we're more angry. Yeah. Sarah really hit on a number of things that I think are incredibly important. We literally are in a perfect storm of incredibly stressful events. The pandemic, politics, climate change, inflation, international situation. And it has manifested itself with all the ugly faces that occur when anger becomes distorted and toxic.
Mm. Yeah. There's so much that she said. What stood out to you and what you heard, some of the scenarios, the interactions between customer service workers and people who are shopping?
Well, what happens with anger from my perspective, it starts as that normal and natural emotion that you talked about. But unfortunately, if it doesn't get addressed and people don't feel like they can address it effectively, it morphs into the next step, which is cynicism, hostility, disgust, contempt, and a sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to be treated. I'm entitled to find that damn cheese, you know, that is so important for me. And then if we stick around that attitude for a while, eventually, it gets to the behaviors, aggression or withdrawal. Aggression is lashing out. Withdrawal is pulling inside, neither of which is a helpful response. And a huge desire, once we experience anger, is I need to be able, especially if it becomes toxic, is I need to be able to control this situation, to control this person, and I'll do whatever I need in order to make that happen.
Mm. JP, what stands out to you and what we just heard from Sarah there at the New York Times describing, like, across the nation, just what people have been witnessing and doing?
I think it really is that element of helplessness that was brought up. I think that people really struggle to acknowledge that they're in a place where they can exert very little control over the things that are happening in their lives. We are dealing with so many systemic issues, issues that are so much larger than life, ones that will probably last longer than our lifetimes alone. And I think people are very unwilling and afraid to acknowledge, you know, this is beyond my control. And so when you feel like, okay, but I should be able to control something, I should be able to be in the driver's seat, that can cause a lot of irritation, it can cause a lot of frustration, it can cause a lot of fear. And I think that is the central place where a lot of this anger is coming from.
And it does, I think Sarah described it as, in some cases, like childish behavior, or seeing adults, you know, throw full tantrums like you would expect from a child. What is that about?
I know, I'm in so many environments now where I see a sign up that says, please be kind to our staff, or do not yell at the TSA agents. And you can just like, oh, there was a battle here. Like whatever made that sign get put up, it was dramatic, it was intense. And it probably happened more than once. It really is, I think it's just a fact of people don't know what to do with their emotions. We're not very good at telling people how to be mindful of their feelings, how to express them in healthier ways. And I think that it really is coming to the fore in this stressful situation we're in, where that lack of coping mechanism, that lack of education on how do we manage our emotions is really coming out in childish behavior, throwing tantrums, throwing fits. We revert back to that period of life before we knew better because we don't know better.
Well, I don't think people like have the intention of going in to a store or, you know, sitting next to someone and being rude. It just like it just happens so fast. And I mean, it has happened to me where like I've said something or behaved in a way. I'm like, oh, that was rude. That's not me. Dave, do you hear that from folks? Like it's almost like an out of body experience. Like, did I just say that or do that?
Yeah, I don't see it that way. I mean, I see people making clear choices. They're not always conscious choices, but they're clear choices. And so when someone is feeling that overwhelmed, they walk into the store ramped up or escalated. You know, I used to really enjoy shopping for groceries and shopping at home improvement places. Now when I go in, I have a sense of paranoia. I have a sense of frustration and irritability immediately, long before I can't find the product that I'm looking for. And so my belief is there's an escalation process that occurs as that person, well, even before driving to the store, but driving to the store, walking in the front door,
the parking
and
lot.
Expecting mm-hmm. the worst. You bet. Mm-hmm. You bet.
All right. Yep. Well, we're talking about anger, and we're getting some phone calls from listeners, so I want to bring them in. Have you witnessed some bad behavior in public, or have you found yourself struggling with anger and snapping and yelling at people? What is making you angry right now, and how are you dealing with it? The phone lines are open. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Let's take a phone call from Minneapolis. We've got Alorda on the line. Good morning to you, Alorda.
Hi, Alorda. Yes, nice. Thank you.
What did you want to share?
I have witnessed inappropriate behavior, but I also went through a struggle myself. My life partner passed away just right before the pandemic. And
I'm so sorry.
And I was struggling, and I didn't want to be angry. I didn't want to be mad, particularly at him. And so I was just working through that. I think it really caused me to go to a dark place. But what I told myself was, you will do no harm to others. And so I would practice, you know. I think whereas one time I might have snapped at someone if they had started something with me, I just found myself watching. But there were two incidences. One was, so a woman was following me in a grocery store, and I just noticed that she was following me, and she was going to every produce place that I was going to. So I turned to her and I said, excuse me, if you'd like to go ahead, you can. And she said, no, but she kept following me. And I felt myself like mm-hmm. going into protective mode. And I turned around and I said, you know what? I need you to stop following me. I need you to give me some distance. And mm-hmm. she just looked at me and she didn't say anything. And I said, and I need you to hear me because I am not in a mood. Mm-hmm. I just need you to know that. So that has been my go-to when I've come across things that have affected me. It's been, I need you to understand what I'm telling me. You are messing with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Not and today.
Not today. My friends have said, Aloyda, you're a person of color. You're a direct communicator. You lower your voice. I'd believe you if I were them. And then, you know, that whole thing about it's not the cheese. It's my belief that, and maybe one of the reasons I was able to not lash out more than I did and be mad was, it wasn't in my character to do that mm-hmm. in general.
It's not who you are, right? I think you know, a lot of people just feel like this is not who I am right now. And you know, she talked about, you know, articulating. She found the words. Is that a helpful coping technique, or how do we manage this anger? Like, okay, heads up, you might want to back away from me or stop talking to me.
Yeah, it certainly can be helpful. The danger, I think, in trying to do that with strangers, right. and this increases the paranoia and the anxiety as well, is you don't know if they're going to say F you. Yeah. Or if they're going to say, you can't tell me what to do, which again is their wanting to assert control in a situation where they feel like someone else is asserting control with them. So it gets complicated. It's hard with strangers. I think it's incredibly important to talk with the people that you're closest to about setting limits, having boundaries, you know, letting them know what's okay and what's not okay from your perspective. But it's trickier when you're out in public and it's a stranger. You do not know how that person's going to respond.
And JP, what do you think about what Alorda was just talking about, like trying to recognizing like this is not who I am and feeling it coming on and trying to interact and tell people, you know, this is bothering me, so please stop.
It made me think about one of the really wild and difficult to understand things about being human, which is that our emotions can be technically ours, and yet there is an element of, I didn't consent to this emotion. I don't want to be feeling it. Mm-hmm. I would prefer not to be feeling this right now. There is an element to where we are subject to our emotions, which is a hard thing to accept. And so when you look at what we can control, because we're talking about, you know, a pandemic, climate change, the fact that we had all these rules to follow, we sacrificed a lot, we're irritated. Those things are really huge. But also there's that element of, what about my own emotions? I can barely control those either, and I can really push us further into the hole. And so when we look at what can we control, it is our reaction to our own emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I got from this situation where, and Dave was really helpful too, I think, in saying, you don't know how that other person's going to respond to you vocalizing your wants, your needs, your feelings. They might just turn around and say, F you. You can't control that person's response to your frank or even calm articulation of what you're feeling. All you can do is control how you respond to that, and mastering that kind of reflex of, okay, I'm feeling this thing right now, but I do have some control over how I act, how I respond to it, is difficult, but one of the few techniques we actually have on the table to deal with the kind of situations that we're in these days.
So JP, you write an advice column for people. It's called Hola Papi. And back in 2020, you got a letter that started like this. I'm facing a reality that I can't avoid anymore. I'm angry. I'm angry at everything. I'm angry at the world and at the people who live in it. Tell us about that letter and how you responded to it.
You know, it was really hard for me to answer. And in a lot of questions I get, it can be hard because what they're feeling is valid. Mm-hmm. They have a good reason to be feeling the things they're feeling. The response of anger to our present situation is completely understandable. But at the end of the day, when you think, okay, is this anger serving me? Oftentimes the usefulness of anger, it has such a short shelf life, and it gets to a point where you're just hurting yourself. You're torturing yourself. You're in a very unpleasant mind space and you need to get out of it. And so it's hard for me sometimes to say, look, you know, it's understandable that you're feeling this way. I get it. I often feel that way too. But you've got to try to find some ways to either direct that emotion into a more productive channel or find ways that you can achieve some sort of stability in yourself to where you are not at the mercy and the whims of this anger. Because I think the problem is once you act on it, once you give it an inch, it's going to take a mile. Mm-hmm. And you end up in a cycle where you just keep indulging it and it only gets worse from there.
And personally, how have you dealt with your anger? Or do you feel angry about everything right now, JP?
I am somewhat of a terminally chill person, I would say. So it's hard to get me to that level, although many people have tried over the past few months/years. And, you know, I think that one thing I'm good at by my nature is just like, well, that happened. I have to accept it. Not trying to bargain with the universe in a way like, well, that shouldn't have happened to me. And then just that feeling of entitlement coming in and saying, but that shouldn't have happened. I can't accept this. That is something I'm good at, where I just say, you know what? That did happen to me. I am feeling this way. I'm just going to have to move on from here. I think that acceptance is the biggest antidote to that particular flavor of anger that a lot of us are feeling.
We're talking about bad behavior in public and anger. Have you found yourself struggling with anger and snapping and yelling at people? What is making you angry right now and how are you expressing it? The phone lines are open. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Let's take a phone call from another listener in Minneapolis. MJ's on the line. Hi, MJ.
Hello. I just want to say that this has absolutely nothing to do with the pandemic. Anyone who has worked retail, has worked in the service industries, knows that customers have meltdowns, will spit, will threaten, will say, I'll have your job. This has gone on for forever. And that's one of the reasons why we have the Great Resignation, is because employees are very angry, and they've been angry for a very long time. Mm. And they have decided we now have the opportunity to step away from being treated like servants or worse. Mm. So, you know, this sounds like it's very new, and it has to do with people being frustrated with COVID. And anyone, I've worked in bookstores, restaurants, retail. I used to be a commentator for Marketplace about the working poor, in which I did a piece about how angry workers were. And, so this while this sounds like it's timely, you talk to anybody who's on the other side of the desk or the cash register, and they'll tell you this is nothing new. Mm.
All right. Thank you. That's MJ in Minneapolis. Another phone call in Roseville. We've got Nicole on the line. Nicole, what are you seeing, or what did you want to share?
What I'm seeing is because people were so isolated for so long, and they were just shopping online, and they could get what they wanted whenever they wanted, and now there's limitations. I know for my store, because I work retail, we have limited hours. So now people, it's harder to get them, you know, at the times that are convenient because it's limited hours, and people are just more and more frustrated, and they've forgotten how to interact with people because they haven't had to do it for so long.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's Nicole in Roseville. And another phone call now in Minneapolis. We have John on the phone. And John, we're talking about anger. What are you seeing, or what do you want to share with us?
Hi, good morning. First of all, I want to say MJ is right on the mark. I agree with everything she said. In Los Angeles, I drove for Uber and Lyft, many thousands of rides. Sometimes you'll have passengers upset about things, and you just deal with it and you get on with your day. I have been driving for Lyft since mid-July here in the Twin Cities. And I've noticed that, you see what happens here when customers get upset, riders get upset, because, first of all, they don't have a mask and you're not supposed to give rides to people with masks. I had two people falsely accuse me of racial profiling, of doing or saying something racial. They contacted Lyft, and both of them lied, and because of that, I am no longer able to drive on the platform. Mm. And many of the riders that I picked up worked for retail, getting back to what MJ said, and they, like Target or other places like Walmart and Cub Foods, et cetera, and those workers would share with me the things that they had to deal with day to day and tell me that they didn't want to be doing that job. They would prefer doing something else, but this is what they were doing. It's a real sad situation here, and I got angry because of those two people who lied, and like I said, now I was denied to be a driver for Lyft.
Mm-hmm. And so, John, moving forward, I mean, how do you think you're going to handle your anger? How are you handling? Are you finding yourself losing it sometimes?
Well, first of all, I'd like to get back on the platform because I kind of enjoyed doing that. And if I were allowed to get back, as a driver, I would do it. Handling the anger, well, I don't know. You know, you just try to get on with your day and do other things to kind of replace, to just have things going well for you in a particular day.
All right.
Just kind of replace the negative stuff that happens. You know what I mean?
I do. John, thank you for calling in. Dave, so a couple of things. A couple of those callers talked about, you know, for people who've been working in customer service, like, this is not new. This has been going on for a long time. But certainly we're seeing some of these outbursts with more frequency.
Yeah, that would certainly be my perspective. You know, it has gone on forever. And I'm sure there have been physical assaults against airline staff. But, the what's going on in terms of the airlines, as far as staff being assaulted, is really a good example of how things have ramped up. And a lot of it has to do, again, with expecting that people will wear masks, having rules about COVID-related kinds of things. The reality is people have been angry forever. I mean, I've dealt with anger and abuse for four decades. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's plenty of instances of road rage long before, you know, before COVID came around. And certainly, you know, shopping experiences where people had difficulty as well. But the reality from my perspective is I think more people are more ramped up. It isn't to say that it didn't occur in the past. It certainly did. I have no beef with that. But yeah, I think the reality is that it is ramped up at this point. And it's scary to, you know, to, again, for me to walk into a home improvement store and be on edge rather than just looking at the things that I want to look at or, you know, perusing the merchandise. So it is, I think there is a difference. You know, I think it's great that JP is a mellow sort of guy.
He described himself as chill.
Yes. I've always tended to be cynical and negative, and that's part of the reason that I deal with angry people, because it's a little bit difficult to put things over on me.
Right.
But the reality is I've been working on that part of myself for 50 years. It's worse now for me than it has been in the past. And, you know, certainly some of that has to do with the issues that we're talking about in terms of COVID and all the other related things that are so disturbing at this point.
And JP, in responding to, you know, questions and letters you're getting in your advice column, don't you feel that isolation has really sort of stoked the fire here? It has played a role in how people are just really struggling with their emotions.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I have never received so many letters about people angry with their roommates ever.
What are the roommates doing?
I would also.
What are the roommates
doing? The
roommates
are just being roommates, honestly. And I think that's enough for some people, where it's just like they're not cleaning enough. They're messy. They're always on the phone late at night and I can hear them and I can't sleep. Or, I mean, it's just like being in such close contact with your roommates over this long period of isolation has been a problem. And also, I think because my column deals so often with LGBTQ people, they've often had to move back in with their parents over the pandemic. And that can cause a huge rift, because sometimes these parents aren't completely accepting of their children's identities, or, you know, they'll slip up, they'll say something wrong. And these are people who are used to living their own lives with their friends who understand that kind of, you know, intuitively. And so they're saying, my parents are really upsetting me because they're not respecting my gender identity. They don't want to talk about me being gay. They want to ignore it, et cetera. All these things that you wouldn't ordinarily have to deal with, isolation or isolating with a certain group of people that you haven't seen in a while or that you're not used to seeing so often, can bring issues like this to the forefront. And it can really impact your mood. It can really impact the way you see yourself, because you're suddenly having to accommodate this other person's energy, this other person's perspective of you, this other person's behavior. And it's a lot to ask of someone who, you know, if you're like most people in this country, are already on knife's edge.
My guests today include John Paul Bramer, the author of the advice column, Hola Papi, and Dave Decker, who's a psychologist in St. Paul who specializes in anger management. And taking your phone calls, hearing your stories, the number is 651-227-6000. You can also tweet me at Angela Davis MPR. Let's go back to our listeners and hear what's going on with folks in their anger. In Minneapolis, Joseph is on the line. Good morning, Joseph. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Angela. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, I was downtown yesterday on Nicollet Mall and at the Target store. Sorry, I'll try to keep my composure because I'm upset with my anger, but I was also upset with the entire experience. So there's lots of street people on Nicollet Mall, and I was at the men's restroom, and two women were cleaning the men's wet restroom. Sorry. And the guy standing in front of me, you know, was getting impatient and turned around and was going to urinate into the drinking fountain.
Oh,
it was awful to watch. But the two women in there knew he was there and stopped him. And they told him, stop. And I told him to stop. And then I got really angry at this guy who would be attempting to urinate into the drinking fountain. Then security came over. Then I got really riled up. So it just pushed me over the edge that this was going on. I think partly because why would Target be the only place for people who live on the street on Nicollet Mall be the place to, you know, use for, you know, for their needs, their physical needs. And that, you know, these guys were lined up. It was just awful. And these women were confronted with that. Mm-hmm. And they were very patient, and I wasn't. You know, I used some, you know, off-color words, and, you know, he used off-color words back at me, and nothing else happened. Security came by, and, mm-hmm. and the event ended. But it pushed me over the limit that I want to, you know, I want to support. I live downtown. I'm just tired of this.
Joseph, I'm so sorry that that happened. Thank you for sharing the story, because I think it's important. It gives us an example of what, you know, what we're seeing, and a chance to talk about it so that the stuff doesn't continue to happen. Dave, what would you say to Joseph? You know, he said he's angry with himself.
Well, I think that's a tough situation. I certainly can understand why he became angry, and, you know, the whole issue with homelessness and street people is an incredibly difficult issue as well. You know, part of it is just hopefully in situations like that, looking at, okay, what did I decide to do? Was I comfortable with it? Is there anything different I want to do in a similar situation in the future? So literally trying to learn from experiences that we've had. And again, the public, I mean, what he described in terms of the guy starting to swear and curse at him, makes a lot of sense. That's what most strangers are going to do if they're confronted about something that they're doing. So part of it is trying to figure out, okay, what did I do and what could I do differently the next time something similar to this occurs?
And I'm just trying to imagine this. I mean, that it's just, it sounds outrageous. I mean, that the things that are happening that we're seeing. And JP, what do you think about what you heard in that story?
Yeah, it reminds me of some similar situations I've been in where, honestly, the worst part for me is when the adrenaline really goes up. And right. even after you've walked away from the situation, your heart is still pounding. You're replaying the situation in your brain over and over again, well into the next day, well into the next week. And for me, that aftermath is so much worse than the event itself, where you're just still trying to reckon with it. You're still trying to figure out, what could I have done differently? What could I have said? Or maybe you think of something that you should have done. And it's torturous. It's really hard. And so for me, you know, I honestly do not know what I would have done in that situation, right. but I do know what it's like to deal with the aftermath of a situation like that. And it comes down to a lot of, you know, I'm just a person. I did what I could in that moment. You know, did I act perfectly? Did I act the way exactly I wanted to? Maybe not, but it was a really unfair situation to put me in and ask me to act perfectly. I think it's, you know, human nature to kind of not know what to do in a situation like that. And that's okay.
And many of us, we are witnessing some, you know, bad behavior and wondering, like, what do we do? Like, because you don't want to, you know, say or do something that's going to escalate the situation. But also, you don't want to just stand by and do nothing, because that looks like, it seems like approval. Dave? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take another phone call. In St. Paul, we've got John on the line. John, what do you want to share with us?
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
It's a fun show about a serious subject. Yeah. And I was speaking with one of your producers, Samantha, and I was telling her that, you know, I am guilty of being one of those people who snaps at others. And one time in particular, my wife and I have been married 15 years. We've been together 20. We're both retired now. And we will, on occasion, okay, maybe often, order carryout. And I had ordered something from a local restaurant, and I was so unkind to the person taking my order, even after it was delivered, and felt so bad that it wouldn't have been enough for me to call back and say I'm sorry. I had to do something more. So I wrote him a letter and sent it to him. But what I was explaining to Samantha is that what's more insidious about this is that we wind up taking our anger out on the people that were closest to.
Mm-hmm.
A few days ago, I had blown a gasket at my wife, and for the life of me, while I was on hold, I couldn't remember what it was about. It just seems that most of the things that send us around the bend are so inconsequential, and that we don't have an opportunity to weigh. And my father used to say, "You put things on a scale and weigh them. You weigh and consider." And I didn't do that. And it's hard. So
well,
the people,
John,
are closest
to... were you doing this before the pandemic? Were you yelling at people who were taking your order before?
No, I wasn't. But one of your other callers had said this has nothing to do with the pandemic, and I thought she was absolutely correct, because good manners and respect are irrelevant they're relevant, but the pandemic has nothing to do with them. Good manners and respect apply all the time, and it was horrible like I said, I can't even remember what was it that I was upset about with my wife, and I still can't remember. And it was only like 3 days ago.
John, how did your wife respond to you yelling at her? What did she say?
I can tell. I'm more animated than my wife, and I can tell by her expression, by her eyes will droop a little bit, and then I know I've crossed a line. And the thing is, you can cross the line, but you can't go back the other direction. You've already crossed the line.
Right.
So that's why I said about the place where I'd ordered the food. I wrote the man a letter because it needed more than just me saying, hey, I'm sorry, you know, stuff happens.
But John, I want to bring Dave Decker into this. Dave, you specialize in anger management. Clients come to see you. So what John is describing, you know, basically he's describing like anger he can't control. Like what do you advise, or what do you hear in his story, or what advice do you have?
Well, first of all, I think that was great that he wrote a letter to the person that he felt bad about hurting. To be real honest, I would recommend the same process with the people who are most important to us, partners, kids, whomever, not necessarily writing a letter, but processing afterwards what happened, what you were feeling, what you were thinking, where it was coming from. That is a way to rebuild a bridge in a relationship with someone who's important to you. I mean, he was very clear about doing that with the delivery person, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. That same process that he used with the delivery person is part of what can happen in a more intimate relationship, is just getting back to whatever it was and remembering, you know, what happened, and being willing to talk about that and share the feelings and talk about, you know, this is where I was coming from. This is what I'm going to do next time that happens. And also to give his, you know, to give his wife an opportunity to talk about what she feels about that being, aimed at her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about, well, honey, what can you do the next time this occurs? And she may just take a respectful time out and say, you know, honey, I'm just not willing to talk to you when you talk to me this way.
JP, as you write your advice column, do you ever get letters about people talking about yelling at their spouses? I know you talked about roommate drama, but what do you hear from spouses, particularly during the pandemic?
I do. I've been getting a lot of letters about arguments among partners. And I think that something that John touched on, and something that I think is really useful for this whole conversation we've been having, is the idea that it is so rarely the thing on the surface that's the problem. It's mm-hmm. usually something much bigger underneath it. And a useful question to ask ourselves is, what is this really about? You know, talking about not being able to remember what it even was that set you off. I think that's very telling, because it is almost never the little inciting incident. Usually that's just sort of the flint, the spark that sort of sets off the bigger thing. And so I think in trying to question, okay, what is actually upsetting me here? What is actually animating this behavior from me? It is usually something a few layers underneath what we're seeing on the surface, or what we think it is. And I think that that is such a useful meditation and such a useful thought exercise to have, because it can really lead us to the core of the issue. And in the letters I get in arguments between spouses, between partners, between you know, people who are just casually dating, usually you can tell even from the letter, it's like, okay, this isn't about this little habit that takes you off about your partner. There is absolutely something else going on here, and you need to think about finding what that is and rooting it out.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another phone call as we talk about anger and bad behavior. In Minneapolis, Randy's on the phone. Good morning, Randy.
Hi.
Hi. What do you want to tell us about anger?
Well, I grew up with anger. My dad was a very angry person. From throwing things to pushing, hitting, it came out quickly. And now that I'm 55 and he's gone, I have been realizing how much that has affected me and how much I haven't had a successful relationship yet. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably me, because I do get angry. And the last relationship I had, I'd say, like, it's not you. I'm not angry at you. I'm just, you know. But I didn't realize how scary it was until I started thinking about how scary my dad was. Mm. And it's just hard to, you know, rage when you get that way. You can't see for anything. Mm. You can't see any, you just all see is red. And I've never punched or hit anybody. My dad punched my mom and threw plates through the window a couple of times. Anyway, so it's just hard to deal with. And after 3 failed relationships, the last one I had, I said I was never going to be in another relationship where I fought all the time.
Well, Randy, I want to give Dave, our psychologist, a chance to talk about this. Dave, you specialize again in anger management, and Randy's talking about some of his childhood experiences and what he's dealing with now that he's 55.
It's absolutely critical, and I think it's great that Randy recognizes that. A lot of folks that I work with initially do not recognize there's a direct link between who I am in the present as an adult, mm-hmm. and what I experienced and what I observed as a child in the past. That's an incredibly important piece. I also grew up with an incredibly difficult dad, which is part of where my negativity and cynicism comes from. Part of what I think is important to look at too in Randy's situation, he said he'd never been physical with anyone. And that for me means that he does have lines in the sand that he won't cross in terms of what he does with his anger. That's a really positive thing. That's something to build on in his character. And reality is,
Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to thank you for your work. We are unfortunately out of time. Our hour is up, but I've learned so much from our 2 guests and from all of our listeners. And I want to thank our guest, Dave Decker, a psychologist here in St. Paul who specializes in anger management, and John Paul Bramer, the author of the advice column, Hola Papi. Check it out. He's written a book with the same title. Thank you, John Paul, and thank you, Dave. Today's conversation was produced by Samantha Matsumoto. Be safe, everyone, and we'll talk with you again Monday morning at 9. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.